Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial episode 127. If this is your first time listening, we are a married couple looking at life through a nerdy lens. How are you doing today?
Well, it is a lazy Sunday, so I'm great.
It is a fantastically lazy Sunday. We spend a good amount of it in bed.
Yeah, which makes a really good Sunday.
I think that's how you spend Sunday. And we went to the mall with the kiddo, and it was we got to watch some Great British Bake Off or whatever. Is that what it's called?
Baking show.
Baking show. Yeah, you turned me on to that pretty hard.
I did. Yeah, I won that one. Although now you've like stolen my show that I watch while like the baby naps during the day. You keep doing this to me. I swear. Like I always like try to find something that you don't want to watch so that I can watch it by myself. And you always end up like coming in and watching it and then deciding like, no, don't watch that without me. I want to watch it.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry, but
I just have such great taste.
As you tell our listeners often.
I do.
I'm pretty sure I have asked this question before to the listeners, but I want to do it again just in case, because you guys, because this is a show about being married, I want to ask you guys, what's a show that you watch on your own? Like, what's a show that you have that
question.
Is just yours? That, because longtime listeners know that we watch everything together, almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're out with your friends or out doing something, I have something that I go to watch, and mm-hmm. same with you.
Yeah.
So we want to know what you guys watch on your own that you don't feel the need.
And do you like having something that's all your own? Mm-hmm. Or is it kind of one of those things where you're like, well, I wish that my, you know, significant other would watch it with me.
Like Star Trek.
Right. But I have to watch it by myself. Or is it sometimes like, oh, no, I really do enjoy watching something by myself and it's only me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let us know. What you can do is you can go to thenerdparty.com/contact. Select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu. Fill out the form. It'll send us an email. You can also message us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can find us at Join Nerd Party on Twitter and all the other places. Just search The Nerd Party.
Yeah.
You can also find me personally on Twitter at The Insane Robin. Now, today... As some of you know, this was last week, but it's kind of like a long time celebration, is the 80th anniversary of Batman.
Which is very important to this nerd nuptial.
Yes, very important to this marriage, to this household.
That's right.
And hopefully to this 2-year-old baby that we have someday, because she has Batman pajamas.
She does, but she prefers her Spider-Man ones.
Why did you have to bring that up? Why did you feel the
She's
need?
She's her own person, and that's okay. That's okay.
That's, well, I'm, you know, this is the 80th anniversary of Batman, and you're just like, yeah, but Spider-Man's cool.
No, I'm saying that Ripley thinks that Spider-Man's cool. She knows that Daddy loves Batman. She understands that. Yeah. And Mommy.
But yes. I was going to say, it's not just me. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I married you, is because you're hardcore into Batman, just like I am. But... there's a lot of events going on. Like DC streaming had an event where you could watch every single thing that Batman was in for free on one day. I think it was like March 29th they did that.
That'd be very difficult to get that all in one day.
I don't think that was the goal to watch it all in one day, but you had access to it.
Okay, well, that's
all
cool.
In one day. Yeah. And then like there's anniversary editions of the comics coming out, and what was really great, and what I and you and hopefully a big chunk of the world was excited about, was the first trailer for Joker.
Yes.
The movie.
Yes.
Came out. It dropped.
I mean, we've been excited about this since they basically like just did a little tester. It was like a test.
Right? Yeah, it was like it was a camera test. It was a costume test. But like, actually, you and I were even excited about this well before.
Oh yeah.
They had any kind of imagery just when they were talking about it, because they were like, there was a rumor that Scorsese was going to be involved and that Joaquin Phoenix was going to be Joker, and so we're like, hell yes.
Yeah.
Actually, no. Originally, it was like Leonardo DiCaprio or something was going to be Joker and Scorsese was involved. But that was just a rumor. And it turned out to be Joaquin Phoenix. And it was going to be inspired by early Scorsese work.
Right. Right.
Which makes both of us tingle in all the right places.
It's too much information. Yeah. So every time I basically walk away from the television, Tristan is watching this trailer. Like,
it's true.
How many times do you think you've watched the trailer?
Whenever, like, you go to the kitchen, get a snack, yeah, or you go and wash your hands, or you go check on the baby, I'm like, oh, she's gone. Okay, two.
I swear. Every time I'm like, again? Really? Again?
It's so, if you haven't seen it yet, why are you listening to this podcast? But pause for a second, take the 2 minutes,
yeah,
watch the trailer.
We're waiting.
It's amazing. It's so great.
I think it basically, from our perspective, it is the right tone that we were hoping. Like, it maintained the tone that we were hopefully expecting.
Yes, yes, yes. Because can you really expect except for what you're told or what you imagine, you know?
Exactly. But, I mean, the fact that it's a gritty... you know, it does feel like early Scorsese, what they're going for.
And it looks like a smaller film.
Yes.
It there was no
big explosions.
You didn't see any blue pillar in the sky of energy.
Right. Oh my gosh.
No CGI whatsoever.
Right.
Definitely in the
a drama.
Yes.
A
psychological thriller.
Right, right.
Yeah. Something
exactly.
Revolving around criminality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exactly what it should be.
Yeah. All about the mind of this villain.
And it's the exact opposite. And I'm not saying this as a criticism. It's the exact opposite of Suicide Squad. It's the exact opposite of Jared Leto's Joker in every way. And again, I'm not saying that as a criticism.
Right.
It's just an interpretation. It is, and it takes place in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
And which is interesting if you think about the timeline, because... you have a young Bruce, like it's been reported that, like in the trailer, you actually see a young Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, isn't he the kid through the bars?
He's the kid through the gate that Joker Arthur Fleek, I think is his name, is literally forcing a smile on Bruce's face. Like he takes his fingers, his thumbs, and is stretching his skin.
Right.
Which seems invasive.
Yeah.
And so that makes you wonder, like, oh, okay, so is this... like they were outside, maybe Bruce was at a cemetery. That's where everybody's mind is going. Like, oh,
sure,
he's at a cemetery.
Sure, which makes sense.
He's visiting Martha and Thomas Wayne's graves or something like that.
Right.
And then it makes you wonder, like, you know, like, was... I'm getting ahead of myself. but it, like, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about a young Bruce Wayne being in this story? Is it forcing too much in, do you think? Is it necessary?
I don't think that, like... any Batman at all would necessarily be necessary for this story, but because he is, you know, the counterpart to Joker, I think that you have to, like, hint at it. And if you're going to hint at it, then I'd rather it be that way than, like,
having Bruce Wayne than a Batman
exactly.
in the suit.
Or even, like, a, you know... an older Bruce Wayne who's, you know, making himself into Batman at the moment. Like,
okay.
I think I'd rather it be this than, I don't know.
I get that.
Than see him
I get that.
Older.
Yeah, I think.
But I don't even think I needed that.
It's
if they do that.
Yeah, I think, yes. I would, if a young Bruce Wayne was not in it, or even, yeah, like if a young Bruce Wayne wasn't even born yet, or not even in it yet, I would have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's a teaser trailer, so like who knows?
Right.
Like that might be all that there is. It's just like a walk-on role. Maybe that's all that there is. Who knows? But I would have been fine without it. But I'm 100% okay with it. Some people are kind of like, like, do we really need that? Like, are they trying to be Batman adjacent?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, are they trying to force it in there? But then, like, I heard one person say, like, well, are they shoehorning Bruce in there just to make it a Gotham story? And then some people are like, does it even need to be a Gotham story? And I don't understand that argument, because if it wasn't a Gotham story, then you have a man who goes insane and start dressing up as a clown in an urban setting.
No,
that's,
I mean,
Joker.
Joker is, he exists in Gotham.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah. No, I think the argument is just like, does it have to be Joker?
Does it,
which I don't understand that argument. It's just like, this is the story they want to tell about Joker.
Right.
And so.
That seems odd to me.
I think it's an odd argument because we're so used to seeing people flying around in capes and big explosions and people like as human crocodiles running around in the sewers and everything like that.
Right.
I think that's why people are just like, oh, well, just they should have just made it a psychological thriller of a guy going insane or something like that.
Yeah, but I think that like The Dark Knight is kind of proof that, you know, a lot of us, including this nerd nuptial, really appreciates a Gotham grounded in reality. And clearly they are trying to like go for that audience that likes that grounded, because that's, I mean, honestly, that's a huge reason why I like Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though he's still a superhero, personally I feel like he's more grounded in reality than like a Superman or even like,
well, absolutely,
you know, the Avengers or something like that. I mean, not talking DC completely, but I feel like that's the reason why I like Batman.
Well, and that's the beauty of it, is because, as everybody knows, that Batman has no superpowers. His superpowers is his intellect and his detective mind and
his wealth.
And his wealth and his, and his gadgets.
Right.
And so that's why, like, some people, including myself, are talking about one big reason why Justice League didn't do well is because we've been conditioned for so long that these DC characters exist in a separate universe to themselves cinematically.
Right.
Like, obviously there's the Justice League comics and the much larger universe of the comics where everybody exists in the same universe.
Yeah.
Obviously. But cinematically, you have the Superman franchise, you have the Batman franchise. And even outside of that, like even within the DCEU, like when you have that standalone film of Wonder Woman, she feels like she's alone.
Yeah, it's kind of true. It's like, it's not like they're talking about like, oh, well, you know, Batman's busy right now, so that's why Wonder Woman's working by herself. You know, it's,
yes,
it's, it, you know, it, you know what I'm saying. But like,
I know what you mean.
It's one of those things where like, it's almost like even though they exist in the same world, they don't acknowledge the other people unless they are coming all together for the Justice League or like just at the end of the movie. Like, hey, just so you remember, like there are other people.
And when you
help out.
And when you look at the Avengers and the interconnected universe that Marvel has, that they have established cinematically.
Right.
Everything is connected. Everything is there. Everything is self-referential.
Right. And I almost feel like they kind of like, I don't know, I kind of accept it a little bit more in that universe just because they've almost kind of established like, well, this issue isn't Avengers worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, well, Ant-Man can handle this by himself. And Captain America can handle this, but we'll maybe pull in this character to help him. Whereas when it comes to like an Avengers movie, you know, like the end of the world is coming because you need all of them.
Right.
Whereas with the Justice League, I mean, yes. Okay, here's the thing, though. Like, we just watched Aquaman for the first time, and yes, we are very late to the party.
Very late to the
party. But we purposely were late to the party because we disliked Justice League that much.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we just were not huge, like, I don't know, fans of Aquaman. Like, just from... Just,
Jason Momoa isn't...
No,
yeah,
and just in general, like, Aquaman to me was always, like, the lamest, of course. I mean, that's just kind of, like, common knowledge, right? He was, like, the lamest of the Justice League.
Yes.
So...
He's the Hawkeye of...
Yeah.
Of the Justice League.
So, we watched it, and here's where, again, like, the DCU does it poorly, is that technically it was going to be the end of everything as well in Aquaman.
Like, yeah, they were going to wage war.
But
on the
Superman
humans,
didn't come and help them or
that's why they made Aquaman Superman, essentially.
Right, exactly. And it was like so much CG, it was like all noise. Anyway, but it's like they didn't do a good job of being like, well, this is only an Aquaman issue.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I miss smaller stories.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we're gravitating towards Joker.
Yes.
And we gravitate towards Batman Begins, Dark Knight Rises, because they're smaller stories. They either involve...
Just take care of Gotham.
Yeah, we've talked about this so many times before, but Batman Begins originally it was just the Narrows, and then it was just like, oh, the water mains of the city are going to explode.
Right.
And then you have Dark Knight, where it was like... the city was not going to explode. It was just two boatloads of people.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the third one, that's when it was just like, okay, let's up the ante.
Right.
And the city is going to be destroyed.
But that's it. Like, and if you actually think about like how many actual explosions happened.
Yeah.
It's not like we have these like CGI epic like battles where you're...
wizard battle.
Yeah. It's not like that. So, yes. Having something smaller where we just deal with the inside of Joker's mind,
mm-hmm.
sounds fantastic.
And I think this is a sign. This is the first... correct me if I'm wrong. This is the first DC superhero... not super... okay. DC Comics, which I know is redundant.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first DC Comics movie separate from the DCEU since The Dark Knight Rises. I think that's right. Because after The Dark Knight Rises, you had Man of Steel, and then that was the beginning of the DCEU.
Yeah.
You know, also known as the Snyderverse.
Right,
so you had
Man
of Steel, and then Batman v Superman, then Wonder Woman, then Justice League. Suicide Squad's in there.
Okay.
And then Justice League, and then Aquaman.
This is completely separate.
Completely 100% separate. This is its own universe. It doesn't exist within the Burton universe, not the Snyder universe.
Okay.
Not anything else. This is its own self-contained story.
They're creating their own thing, and they're starting with Joker.
Not just starting. That's just it.
That's just it. We're just like, I'm going to make a Joker movie.
This is the movie. Yes. Yes, okay. Exactly. This is the movie. And that is so beautiful.
Honestly, I'm surprised that they gave money for that.
They gave, I think it's $50 million. And what I cannot believe we live in an age where $50 million is like, oh, here you go.
Yeah.
And it looks
like a little film.
And it like the beauty of the film, like of the trailer of Joker, it looks small.
And yeah.
And I don't want to say cheap, but it doesn't look like it cost $300 million.
Right.
It looks like it looks like it cost that much. And it's just crazy because like that's how much like big budget movies used to cost, $50
million. Right.
And now we're just like, $50 million, whatever.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think the tone is right.
Mm-hmm.
I think like everything that I'm seeing looks right to me.
The cinematography.
Yeah.
The color palette.
Yes. Yes.
Oof, the browns.
Yeah. Yeah.
The deep, deep purples. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Oh. Yeah.
Dark green. It's all, yes. Yeah. The sunset, you know, like everything. Everything.
Now, I know that a lot of people are going to maybe say, like, do we really need an origin story for the Joker?
Yes. A lot of people are bringing that up.
How do you feel about that?
I say bring it on. I've always been intrigued by origin stories. I think... I don't fault people for not specifically wanting an origin story for the Joker, mm-hmm. because the greatness that is the Joker is kind of like the Moor from Titus. You know, like he's crazy and no one knows his motivations. He just does evil things.
Mm-hmm.
It's very Shakespearean.
Mm-hmm.
And so... literally Shakespearean.
Like just to see what happens.
Yeah, and I think that's the beauty of the Joker is that he's crazy and he's a wild card. You have no idea what he's thinking or what he's going to do next.
Well, and that also influences how Batman treats him, because if you can kind of get to the root of why someone does something, then can't you possibly prevent it, right?
Or correct it, right. Figure out what they're going to do next when you can figure out their motivations.
Exactly.
And so I totally get that. And I feel the same way. To an extent,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like this kind of thinking was amplified in 2008.
Definitely. Well, like, yeah, when you have the Joker saying, like, I'm this way because of this, and I'm this way. There was no true story. It all was just made up. And, like, the second time he tells that story, you're like, oh, okay. Yes. No, it's not because of his past or anything that's happened to him. It is because he doesn't care. And he just wants to see, as, you know, as Alfred said, the world burn.
Yeah, exactly. And the first time we saw it together, I remember thinking, like, I remember when he says, like, do you want to know how I got these scars? I remember thinking, ugh, we don't need to know.
Right.
We don't need to know. Don't explain it. Don't explain it. And then, he like you said, he does that second time. I was just like, okay, that's cool. But it's weird. I always thought that was, looking back, I'm just like, why did I think that? Like, why was I so against figuring out where he came from when we've seen his origin so many times before?
Right.
I think Nolan created a version of that character that was meticulously drawn out to the point of obfuscation where it was appetizing. And you didn't want to know about him because of, like, what, you know, like Gary Oldman said, he's just like, there's nothing in his pocket but knives and lint. All his
right.
clothes are custom. You know,
right.
like he's an enigma. You have no idea what's going on.
It takes away that identity that we think we can figure out.
But Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, Todd Phillips' Joker, is not Heath Ledger's Joker.
Right.
It's not Nolan's Joker.
It's a different Joker.
That is that origin story for that Joker.
Right. Right.
And that's why I'm okay with it, because mm-hmm. we got an origin story with the first cinematic version of Joker. We got an origin story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for like a third of the film, he's Jack Napier.
Right. Right.
So
right.
we see him thrown in the vat of chemicals at Ace Chemicals. Mm-hmm. Boom. Origin story. 1989. That
right.
was 30 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
everyone was okay with it at that time.
Everything. Yeah. And also, even like so many people, I don't understand this because I'm not going to start ranting, but...
Are you sure?
I am sure. So many people say, whenever Joker comes up in conversation, people say, oh, I wish Mark Hamill's Joker got more love. Do you? Because every single Joker conversation I've had or seen, he's brought up as people saying he's the best. And he deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
He deserves the attention. But I feel like a lot of people say it just to make themselves feel cool because they're choosing the animated version as their favorite version.
Okay.
Which is fine if it is, but I feel like people use it as a card to say, like, I'm cooler than you because I'm doing something that's a little indie. they feel it's like they're...
But
like,
is it if everyone's enjoying it?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying is ridiculous about it, is that everybody thinks that because it's true. Mark Hamill's Joker, like, it was a genius interpretation. We've seen his origin story. Mark Hamill's Joker. We've seen multiple origin stories of Mark Hamill's Joker, which in itself is a part of the character, because we saw a pre-Joker Mark Hamill in Mask of the Phantasm.
Mm-hmm.
And we also saw a different type of interpretation in The Killing Joke, which mm-hmm. was animated
right.
and voiced by Mark Hamill.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've seen, and in the comic books, they've had multiple origin stories over the years, and even just recently, a couple of years ago, when they rebooted it, the comic book universe once again after the New 52, they straight up said there are three Jokers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all with different backstories that exist in the universe, in that one universe.
So, like, over time, like, kind of like picking up the mantle.
No, not really. It was weird. I didn't really dig on that.
Like all within Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
Three Jokers in Gotham.
Yeah. It was weird.
Okay.
I didn't really like that.
Okay. You'll have to explain that to me later.
I don't fully understand it myself.
Okay.
So, like, I could be getting something wrong. But I remember reading that issue going, what? But that's the thing, is that, like, we have been inundated by this.
So for people to say, like, I don't want an origin story, that's fine. But don't deny that there are so many.
Right. Like, this is not something new.
Right.
This is not novel.
Right. Right. For me, I sometimes get a little fatigued by origin stories, I think, just because, like, how many times do I have to, like, see, you know, Bruce Wayne's parents die?
The okay. pearls drop.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't need that. Like, that was one of my biggest critiques of Batman v Superman was like, I don't need that. Like, let's move on. Mm-hmm. Like, I know who Batman is.
I know who Uncle Ben is.
Exactly. But with the Joker, because even though it's a, he's a super popular villain, I don't, like, it's just interesting to see that backstory explored because it's a villain, mm-hmm. I think. And I don't think we've seen it probably to the point of exhaustion. So for me, I'm super excited and also to see a different interpretation. So I do understand the idea of people saying like, oh, I don't, because, you know, as of right now, my favorite Joker interpretation for sure would be, you know, the Dark Knight.
Heath Ledger.
Yeah, Heath Ledger version, where we don't know so mm-hmm. much that it, like, ruined it, right? Like, I get that. But at the same time, I love the Joker character so much and the crazy that is that character that I'm like, let's see a different interpretation. Yeah. Let's, why not? Like,
exactly. Why not?
Why not have more of a good thing?
And that's what I really don't understand is that people feel like it's going to ruin something for them if they know more about the Joker.
Then you just say, I don't like that version.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just a version. Like, when I go and watch The Dark Knight again for the 25th time, I'm not going to, like, after watching Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, I'm not going to be thinking to myself, oh man, if only Heath Ledger's Joker could have made it work with Zazie Beetz. No, it's not going to work that way.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. It's a different movie. It's a different universe.
Exactly. Like, I didn't particularly like, I think it was the Maskless Phantasms version, was it?
Yeah. Well, they didn't really go too much into.
Or was it, which one was the one where, like, he had a wife and.
Oh, it was The Killing Joke.
Okay. I didn't really like that interpretation of his backstory. Like, I was just like, eh. Like, I didn't really like it.
I didn't like the Red Hood. I think that's what he's called, the Red Hood storyline, where he's, like, wearing that bullet on his head.
Yeah, like, he had to really get money, either. Right? Is that, yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that. But that doesn't mean that, like, every time I see the Joker, I'm like, oh, well, he messed up there.
Yeah. Like, oh, man, it's too bad his wife died. Or, right, like, you know, or, like, he, like, couldn't make it as a real comedian. You know, like, no one's thinking that.
No.
So you're really just complaining. To be complaining. But whatever, you do you. Or you could just not see it.
Right. And that's fine too.
And I'm not saying that to be snide. I really am not. I am not saying that to be like, well, fine. Like whenever I write a bad review for a TV show on the nerdparty.com, like, there's some mouth breather who comes to me and says, like, well, then don't watch it if you don't like it. I'm like, I watched the first episode. I'm reviewing the first episode. You know, like, that kind of thing. I'm not doing that. Like, if you are so hardcore against knowing any kind of origin story, then don't go see it.
Absolutely.
And like, that's within your power not to go see it. Again, I'm not trying to be snide. I'm not trying to be sassy. I'm just saying, like, like, seriously, like, okay, it's cool.
Right.
Like, there's, you still have the DCEU, you know, like, you still have another Suicide Squad coming out. And other things.
Yeah, other things. Yeah, no, I think it's one of those things where it's your choice, right? I mean, in anything. Like, you always have the choice to whether you want to explore that or not.
Now, here's the thing, though. Just because we're talking about continuity and versioning and everything like that, I guess it could potentially be possible for Joaquin Phoenix Joker to come up again. Because Matt Reeves's trilogy of Batman movies that's going to be shooting soon. There's a rumor that it's going to take place in the 90s.
So if they start this process in the 80s with Joker, then he could potentially, like, maybe depending on how well it goes.
Exactly.
He could become the Joker in those upcoming films.
He could be an older Joker, kind of like a Jack Nicholson Joker.
Right.
In that trilogy. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. I wonder about that. I'm okay if they don't do that, because I like the idea of something being temporary. I like the idea of just a one-off, like, this is that story, let's do that. And I want DC to do that more, like the old days.
Yeah, I get that. And I think that sometimes it would be refreshing in this way that, like, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to, like, continue on in the franchise. Like, okay, this was the interpretation of Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker. End of story. And now moving on.
Moving on, yeah. I don't see Phoenix as being someone who would be like, okay, I'll sign a 7-picture deal.
No, he doesn't feel like that, but who knows? I don't know.
You know, when they when they back up a dump truck of money.
Yeah, I don't know.
To your front door, you're only human.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and Matt Reeves is, Matt Reeves, the director of the rebooted Planet of the Apes franchise. He's saying all the right things.
That's really good.
He really is. He's saying all the right things about like going back to the detective roots.
That's what we like.
And like really focusing on that about Batman being a detective, about figuring things out. And also, I think they said that they want a younger Batman.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Because we got one with Christian Bale in Batman Begins. So it's not like it's the first time that it's ever happened.
But how young?
Yeah, I don't know.
That also concerns me. Like, how young are we talking?
I don't know. Well, I mean, because, I mean, in the comics, oh, there's so many different versions in the
right.
comics,
again,
you know, and everything like that. So
depends on what you read, right?
Like, the lore is that he's older than college-aged.
Okay.
Which is still young, like, if you want to go 22.
Yeah,
And Christian Bale was not 22.
No.
When Batman Begins came out.
Right.
But we saw him as a younger person.
Right.
You know, like when he got kicked out of college and everything like that. But it's it makes you wonder because I don't want another Batman Begins.
I get it.
I would like to just go, like, he's fine. It would be 100% okay if he was young and in the 90s and everything like that. But I liked what Batman 89 did, where it's just boom, he's Batman.
Yeah, Batman is Batman.
And this was the first cinematic Batman, and it was boom, no origin story, there you go. Well, I mean they got the flashbacks,
right.
But he was an established Batman. I mean,
he had to like prove himself, and
he was still mysterious to Gotham,
sure,
but it wasn't like he was testing out his suit, he wasn't digging out his cave,
right?
And I loved Batman Begins for that.
Right.
But it's weird.
We've seen it,
Yeah. But it's going to be 15 years.
Yeah.
When it, like, by the time it comes out, Batman Begins was going to be 15 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
I feel
old.
That's insane, right?
Yeah.
And so we're talking really about old. Like 15 years is too soon, guys. Wait a good solid 2 decades before you get another origin.
That's so funny. Yeah, no, I mean, again, like, I think, I don't know, like, okay, so, question, since it's the 80th anniversary of Batman being Batman, when did you first fall in love with Batman? When did this love affair start for you, Tristan?
I was Batman for Halloween.
Mm-hmm. But why were you
four
Batman?
Times in a row?
But why?
I'm trying to think back because
it was that far away.
Yeah, it was. I think I was 5.
Okay.
When I really fell in love with Batman, it was Michael Keaton's Batman.
Really?
Yeah, I was born in '86, and Batman '89 came out in '89. And now, obviously, I was too young to watch it then or to experience it. But my dad showed it to me at a young age.
So too young.
Young. I was super. I have very early memories watching that.
We fast forward parts of Winnie the Pooh today for Ripley. So we're not on the same track.
Well, no, this was fast forwarded too. No, Batman 89 was fast forwarded for me. A great deal. But I was super young when it came out, and so like it was that movie. I think it was probably when it probably kicked into high gear when Batman Returns came out, which I was not allowed to see.
Okay.
I wasn't allowed to see Batman Returns, but I was allowed to see Batman.
Okay.
And I remember watching the Adam West TV show with my grandma and grandpa, but not really thinking anything of it.
Yeah, well, it's a very different Batman.
Yeah, I was just like, but even as a child, I didn't really dig it. I was just kind of like, oh, this is goofy, it's fun, it's colorful, whatever. But when I saw Michael Keaton's Batman, I was like, okay, wow. Like, this is my Batman.
Okay.
And like, when Batman Returns came out, they started, you know, they
were promoting it heavily. There was a lot of toys. There was a lot of tie-in stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Taco Bell, McDonald's all had that kind of advertising. And so that kind of swept me in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, whoa, whoa, what's going on here? And Dad's like, oh, well, this is the sequel to the Jack Nicholson one. Let's watch that. And so, yeah, I think that's when, yes, when Batman Returns came out.
Okay.
Like a couple years after 89. Okay. So early 90s. So, yeah. So I was like 5 or 6. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
That was the, whew, you know, like, and then like that's at the same time, that's when the animated series came out.
Okay. For me, the animated series.
I was going to ask you. Yeah. Was that for you?
Yeah. For me, the animated series was when I started liking Batman.
And what about it? Like kind of.
The darker tone, the female villains.
Oh yeah. Poison.
I thought they were cool. Yeah.
Catwoman.
Yeah, exactly. I just thought he was like a really neat and just brooding and mysterious. And so I really liked that. I really liked the animated series a lot. Like I always tried to catch it. I'm a little embarrassed to say that I was young. Don't judge me too harshly. I didn't watch any of the Michael Keaton, I didn't watch any of the Tim Burton ones. Like I think it was too scary at the time, right? But we did watch Batman and Robin, and it had such a bad movie, but I really liked it at the time when I was a kid.
Did I know this?
No, I did watch it and I liked it at the time.
Did I know this?
I don't know. I did like it. I will admit, I really did like it. And then obviously, like after that, I realized it was terrible. But
well, that's the story of so many childhood movies.
Yeah, of course. I just liked the idea of Batman, right? And I could see it like continued. I didn't see any of the other ones. But then for sure, the solidification would be, you know, the Dark Knight trilogy, that maybe, you know, Begins and everything like that.
Yeah, when Batman Forever came out, like obviously because it was directed by Schumacher, it was a very different film from Batman and Batman Returns. But I never, even though I wasn't allowed to watch Batman Returns, once I actually watched it, I was like, oh, this is garbage. Like I still don't like it. Like I'll watch it sometimes just because it's Keaton's Batman, and I love Keaton's Batman, and Michelle Pfeiffer's amazing. But, oh, Danny DeVito and just blah, 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 blah. But when Batman Forever came out, I kind of reconnected with it. I was just like, oh, this is cool. This is nothing like Batman 89, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, it wasn't the same Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's technically supposed to be.
Right.
I think of it as Burton and Schumacher.
Yeah, it's easy to see. Like, okay, they're different.
Yeah.
Right?
And so I still love Val Kilmer as Batman. I really do. Judge me all you want. I don't care. I love Val Kilmer as Batman. I thought it was great. I thought Chris O'Donnell was fine. And I love Nicole Kidman. Ooh, that hit me at the right age. And to this day, I think Batman Forever is a good movie. It's goofy. It's hokey.
Yeah.
It's over the top. It's neon. But Batman and Robin,
it's horrible. It is garbage.
I could not get behind that.
It was okay. So I think what it was like, it was again at the right age that I was like allowed to watch that one, mm-hmm. because of the timing, I think, that it came out. And I remember my brother being really scared for some reason, and I think
that's hilarious.
I know. But I think it was maybe I just felt cool because I wasn't scared of it.
Yeah, I sat through Batman Robin didn't close my eyes once, guys. So yeah, I'm pretty hardcore.
I also was 4 years older, so again, not so cool. But I think it was just the idea of like, okay, there's a bat cave and like just the things I had seen in the animated. Like it was just like, again, if you think about it though, I don't think I really had seen that many superhero films at that point. To be honest with you.
Well, not a lot came out by then.
Right?
Not a lot came out. You had the Superman films and...
I kind of think that was kind of the deal, was like, oh, this was one of the first like live action ones I'd actually been able to see, to be honest.
And the animated series is directly influenced by the Michael Keaton 1989, so much that the theme song is the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what's really interesting is that like Kevin Conroy was the first actor to have a dual personality and dual voice of Batman. Because like in Batman 89, Michael Keaton just kind of whispers. He's like, oh, Joker's psychotic. You know, like that kind of thing. So he's not really changing his voice. He's just whispering.
Right.
But Kevin Conroy, like in the first episode, it's just like, when he's talking to Batman, he's just like, it's all graveling. He's like, yes, Alfred, come over here. Like, please bring me some tea. And then he picks up the phone. He's like, hey, how's it going? I'm Bruce Wayne. You know, like that's.
Right.
That's him.
Yeah.
That was his decision. Yeah. And now everybody does that.
Exactly. They have a Batman voice and a Bruce Wayne voice.
Yeah. And like, it's just crazy.
Except for George Clooney did not.
Oh my gosh, you're right. You're right.
He was just George Clooney, let's be honest.
Like even Val Kilmer kind of like took it on the low key. Like he was just like, he changed his voice just a little bit.
Just but George Clooney was just George Clooney. Man,
the first time you see him and he pops in, he's like, hi, Freeze, I'm Batman.
You're like, no, you're not.
Ooh, no, you're not, George. No, you're not. You're picking up a paycheck.
I'm so embarrassed that was one of my... Yeah, that was one of the things that I did like it, though.
To this day, like, we, not that long ago, we did a marathon,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to do it again because they're coming out in 4K. Just so you know, FYI.
Put it on the calendar.
The original Batman films are coming out in 4K either this spring or summer, most likely summer. And I've already bought them, pre-ordered them. And what was I saying?
Just telling everyone they're watching them.
Just telling everyone they're watching. No, when we went back and rewatched them, I was like, okay, we got to be hardcore about this.
Yeah.
We're not going to skip anything.
We have to go through.
We got
to
go through.
All of them.
We started with Batman and then ended with Dark Knight Rises.
Mm-hmm.
And with like Returns and Forever and Batman and Robin in there. And while you're watching Batman and Robin, it's one of those movies where you're just like, oh man, this is crazy. It's entertaining though because it's so crazy.
It's like a fun watch like late at night. And I'm pretty sure we always end up doing that one late at night, mm-hmm. and just kind of making fun of it the whole time.
So 80th anniversary, what did you think of Batman Begins when it first came out, like when you first saw the trailer or when Christian Bale was announced? You know, like, were you tapped in by then?
I don't think I necessarily was, honestly. Like I was excited to go and see it, but I don't think it really like solidified 100% until The Dark Knight, and then I was just like 100% in.
I was wide-eyed, like I was
really into it.
Yes, because I was, it came out in 2005 and I think the trailer came out in 2004. I could be wrong, but I remember downloading the trailer online, and that was new. Like that was new for me.
Okay.
Downloading a trailer online. Like it wasn't like one of the first to do it, but like it was still novel enough, mm-hmm. that it was interesting. And I remember waiting forever because back then you could choose if you could download it in an SD, 720 or 1080.
Right, right.
And I waited 3 hours to download the 1080 version just so I could get it in pristine quality. I didn't even have a 1080 monitor. And so I remember watching it for, and I didn't really know too much about Chris Nolan. You know, okay. At that time he did.
And this was in 2005, you said?
This was in 2005, or like 2004 when the trailer came out, okay. I can't remember. But like at that time, he did Insomnia, he did Memento, and I really liked Memento, mm-hmm. but I didn't like Insomnia. So I was just kind of like, okay,
Right.
He wasn't worshipped as he is today.
Right.
But that opening shot of Christian Bale walking through the mountains, not wearing a suit, you mm-hmm. know, like just dressed mm-hmm. up in rags.
Yeah.
That got me right there. I was just like, this is going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be good. This is going to be a movie.
Yeah, I think that was one impression I had from Batman Begins too, was like, okay, this is not typical. Like, they're going a different direction and they're telling a different story. And I feel like that's kind of where I'm feeling with the Joker movie as well. Like, okay, it's original. It's something that we haven't explored. In this way. Right.
Yeah.
Like we know the character, but let's see it in a different way.
And going back to Joker, one thing that I'm really enjoying is that in the trailer, you see him with his mom. He's taking care of his mom.
Mm-hmm.
He's bathing his mom. So
right.
Clearly it is a situation where she can't take care of herself. But then at the same time, he has a mental illness that he's, you see him writing about it. And actually someone freeze framed it and said, the problem with having a mental illness is that people expect you to behave like you don't have one. That's deep. That's, that's pretty powerful stuff. And so the fact that he has to, he himself has a disability and he has to take care of somebody in his life who also has disabilities that we don't know about yet.
Or I could be completely off. I kind of took it as, is this kind of like a psycho situation where like there's an odd relationship with the mother, like a controlling relationship with the mother? Like, I kind of took it that way, where maybe his mother has this hold on him and that's also like part of it.
I took it as he's very attached to his mother because he needed more looking after growing up or as an adult because of his illness, that he has a special bond with his mother because she felt like she had to take care of him longer in life. And now that she's sick, he has to take care of her and return the favor. And I'm expecting her to die.
Mm-hmm.
So when she dies, that's what helps push him over the edge.
Okay.
That's how I took it. So like they have a good relationship.
Okay. Because, I could be completely, well, but that's maybe it's just,
No. Like neither. Yeah. No, I mean,
we don't know. Right.
Like neither of us could be right. Or you could be right. Or I could be right. That's the beauty of it. This is just a teaser trailer.
Right.
But like in the trailer, they kind of show that they have a good relationship. Like when he's bathing her and then like throws water on her face and she's smiling and then they're dancing in front of the TV.
See, I took that completely opposite. I did not take that as a loving relationship. I took it as like a, things might be a little not quite right. I did. I don't know.
Well, you are.
I don't know why.
You are a much bigger Hitchcock fan than I am.
Yes.
And you really like Psycho.
Yes.
And I don't really like Psycho.
I don't know. I just took it as like the way they were dancing didn't seem like a cute like dancing.
Really?
No, I didn't take it that way at all.
I took it as wholesome, totally.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't take it that way at all.
Yeah.
I took it as like things are not quite right.
Like in what way? Like a way that you don't want to talk about?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Ew. I don't think it was saying that at all.
That's how I took it. And I could be completely wrong and maybe my mind is just completely warped.
I think
like,
you are completely wrong.
Okay. We'll find out.
We will find out.
But that's how I took it.
I'm hoping I'm right. Very much so. So I don't want to see anything like that or even illusions.
Well, I'm sorry to put that in your head.
yeah, that's because I think there's two great Joker quotes from two different franchises. And there's one from The Killing Joke where like I'm going to butcher it, but it's all it takes is one bad day to make the sanest man go mad.
Mm.
And then you have The Dark Knight where the Joker says, madness, as you know, is like gravity. All it takes is one little push. And those, I feel like, are sister quotes where it just shows you, it's alluding to the fact that that's how the Joker fell. One bad day. Now, the Joker with Joaquin Phoenix is showing a man who's struggling. It's not just one bad day.
Right.
Like
right.
He's struggling. He's being pushed.
But one bad day incident could push someone who's near the edge
and
off.
My money is on his mother dying.
Okay.
That's my money.
Okay.
And I have no idea how Zazie Beetz is going to work into it. But they're at a diner together. She is 27 years old. He is, Joaquin Phoenix is 45 years old. Come on. I love Zazie Beetz, but couldn't we found a more age-appropriate person if they are going to go the love interest? Maybe they're just friends.
I don't know. Or maybe it's, again, like, I don't, maybe we saw different trailers. And I mean, we both enjoyed the trailer and think it's going the right direction, but I kind of felt like maybe it's like the, like for him, he's not quite right.
Well, and yes, I saw that
okay,
trailer.
Okay, I'm glad. But like maybe this girl is nice to him and he's misinterpreting. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, that's quite very possible.
Or,
yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe like it's not like a relationship. It's more of like he sees someone who's kind to him, but maybe, and then maybe it won't, like, it'll backfire in some way. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm interested in seeing that. Like, I'm interested in, like, I wonder, you know, if this movie will say anything.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
If it'll say, hopefully, in this day and age, you know, like, because I feel like some people are a little worried, and, you know, and honestly, they have a reason to be worried about another movie painting people who have a mental illness or a mental disability, or, you know, some sort of, who are not neurotypical,
mm-hmm.
With a broad brush, mm-hmm. and a negative brush,
mm-hmm.
where, like, somebody will see that and go, like, oh, well, I mean, if you have a mental illness, then you're crazy, or if you're not neurotypical, or if you're atypical, then right. you must be crazy or dangerous right. and psychotic.
Right.
You know, I'm able to see these movies and not think that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm able to do that, but not everybody is. And so could that be detrimental to people who are living in that realm of society and with disabilities like that and with illnesses like that? And so I'm hoping that they will find a way to balance that in 2019,
mm-hmm.
Without hurting the story and not treating it with kid gloves. But at the same time, because we're living in 2019, I wonder if this will have something to say about whether it's socioeconomic status, racial status, urban status, mental health in the United States, and how it's shunned, or how, you know, mm-hmm. like, you're just, especially in the 80s, oh my God, the early 80s, where, you know, like, if you had anything,
mm-hmm.
that was atypical, then you were considered crazy and psychotic. And maybe that's what pushes him over the edge, because he's being ignored. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if it'll say something, or if it's, hopefully it will, because I feel like those are the movies that definitely impact more, instead of just this guy went crazy and then he started murdering people.
Right. Right. I think, like, even from what you, like, cause we reframed, like, the journal or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And even, like, the quote that you said, like, was on there about, like, mental health and how, people expect you not to act, you know, a certain way or whatnot. I feel like even in that self, having that even there, I feel like it has to say something.
Yeah.
I don't think that it wouldn't just be this story. And yet at the same time, like you said, I think we're not just talking about someone random. We're talking about the Joker.
Right.
So I think you have to allow some, like, it's okay that he is going to go crazy, because that's the story that we want to see.
And that's the Joker. Right. He is psychotic.
Right, right.
He's a psycho.
But still acknowledging, like, that not everyone will become this way, obviously.
Right. Like, not everybody who has psychosis or suffering psychosis
right.
will be violent, you know,
right.
and everything like
yeah.
that. And so, yes, hopefully they will take those steps,
mm-hmm.
to safeguard that, or at least not paint with a broad brush.
Right.
And maybe, hey, it'll say something like with what you're saying with Zazie Beetz, like, Zazie Beetz is nice to him,
mm-hmm.
and in stereotypical male fashion, because she's nice
that
to him.
That happens a lot as a female.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, you have a million stories like that.
Yeah.
And I know I have tons of other friends who have a million stories just like it,
mm-hmm.
where just because a woman is nice to you, then all of a sudden she owes you something, or you think it's something that it's not. And then when she rejects you, you go off the deep end. You know,
right, like, right.
We could have a comment on how mental illness is ignored.
Mm-hmm.
We could have a comment on how on toxic masculinity. You know, we could have so many comments on this, and another argument, like, some people are making is, I don't want to feel sorry for the Joker. Like, I don't want to empathize with the Joker and understand and everything like that. And I feel like there's going to be some empathy.
Yeah. I mean, already in the trailer, I've felt some empathy for him. Yeah.
But you can have empathy for a character, but still recognize that they're making the wrong decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. And see the path. Like,
right.
Okay, they should have turned right, but they went left.
I kind of liken it to Walter White.
Mm.
Where you empathize with Walter mm-hmm. White, and you understand what he's going through, but then you're just like, oh, you're making a whole bunch of wrong decisions. Like,
right.
you are becoming the villain. I don't feel sorry for you. I understand where you're coming from, and I'm pseudo rooting for you because you're the protagonist, but you are the villain here.
Exactly. And I think that's a fine line. I think that's why Breaking Bad works so much in that way, is that you started off feeling bad, and then you slowly became like, no, he deserves everything that comes to him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you wanted to see that story because, like you said, this is what you want. This is what you came for.
Right. And so it can be done. Mm-hmm. Everything that we just described can be done appropriately.
Absolutely.
Will they? Who knows?
We don't know.
We don't know. It could fail miserably. It could be a terrible movie with great trailers. Just watch Suicide Squad. You know, yeah, I hope that they don't show too much. I hope that we get this teaser. We have this teaser trailer, and then we get one more trailer, and then that's it.
Like Endgame.
Oh, that's an extreme example. maybe a little bit more than that. but yeah, something in that vein. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, we talked a long time.
It kind of became more Joker than Batman, I'm not gonna lie.
We set out.
Yeah.
We said, like, as we were talking about this episode, like, well, let's just talk about the Joker trailer at the top, but then we'll just kind of transition to 80th anniversary Batman.
No.
It was more like 90% Joker, 10% Batman.
It's true.
As you could tell, we are excited for this film. So please check out our backlog by going to thenerdparty.com.
Yeah.
Write us a review. If you like what we do, and if you give us a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the show. Write to us. Let us know what you think. Give us some show topics if you want us to talk about anything in particular. We love getting feedback, and we love getting letters from you guys.
Yeah.
And we really do appreciate those people who write us regularly.
Absolutely.
And contact us regularly.
Yeah. And we have lots of other shows you can check out on the network as well.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
We have so many. We have a Harry Potter show. We have multiple Star Wars shows, multiple Star Trek shows. We got a Doctor Who show, and so many other that I'm forgetting right now. but go to thenerdparty.com. There's something for everyone. It really is great. And speaking of Endgame, I cannot wait until we get to April 25th.
Yes, we have tickets.
We have tickets for AMC Dolby showing, first showing, Thursday night. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, we're excited.
We are excited. So thank you guys so much for listening.
I love you.
I know.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.